From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the fourth day of December 2017. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. We'll check in on the agricultural cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons from right here in Champaign County and take a look at the weather forecast, too. And with Mark Russo, he's at Risk Pulse out of Chicago, Illinois. Along the way, I'll bring you all the ag news for the day, including the impact of that recently passed tax legislation that came out of the Senate and how it might affect agriculture if signed into law eventually after reconciliation with the House bill. And we'll hear about the rest of the agricultural news, too, on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
We're now joined by Kurt Kimmel at Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Hey, Kurt, thanks so much for being with us. Kind of a nice move in the beans, though. They came back. What happened in Chicago at the CME Group today?
La Nina, our good friend Wayne Nelson, projected that clear about a month and a half ago, and then that's kind of the issue. Gone to an old-time weather forecaster over 226 years of experience. It's pretty well confirmed we're going to be talking weather for quite some time to come here. We've got a warmer, drier pattern for most of Argentina and the southern one-third of Brazil over the short term, and that's what kind of lit a fire under the bean market in the overnight and early day trade. They are expecting some moisture as we move into next week, so the more critical times after the first of the year. So we're getting our early start to the weather market out of the southern hemisphere. But also we saw a situation where the world bean market demand-wise remains strong. Talk of China importing some meal. Our meal market here in the U.S. is kind of on fire, too. Meal gained on bean oil today, meal up over $7 a ton. So there's ideas that the products are on solid footing. This morning's weekly export inspections report, which monitors the beans that we export or ship out, we shipped out 1.8 million metric tons of beans, and that was above trade expectations. Chart-wise, last night we gapped higher and traded higher and closed higher today. We left about a 1 cent chart gap in the January soybean futures contract there. If we can maintain that chart, the bulls are going to tout maybe we got a little bit of a breakaway gap. But we want to make sure we open higher tonight and maintain these gains because we could gap back lower and leave a one-day high on top. So the fundamental picture in the bean complex and the technical picture in the bean complex is starting to get exciting, and I expect this low volatility to start to disappear. Maybe volatility should start to pick up here as we get more in the southern hemisphere weather market, Todd.
So the beans did settle a dime off of their highs. That get you concerned about tonight's trade?
It is. You like to see it finish strong. And that would be the concern if we open two or three lower and then sort of give up the gains. We saw the market trade into some upper areas that we've stalled out at. So it could be a signal that maybe we found this a little bit of a top. Probably the more of a concern is the corn chart. When you look at the activity in the corn market, we on this move here from last week's low, today's action, we traded higher than Friday and traded lower and closed lower below Friday's low. So we got a good outside down reversal. Also, today's high is about a 62% retracement back up to the recent highs in through there. So the technicians probably a little bit more concerned about the corn markets, the way it performed today versus the beans at the moment.
Any fundamental news that we need to know about from the corn?
Well, disappointing technical action with the positive fundamental news. Even though we have ample world supplies of feed grain, the trade's starting to get a little excited about a little bit of a shrinking of the world feed grain situation with ideas that China's going to have a smaller crop. China's actually buying some corn under the radar along DDGs. They're picking up some sorghum. When we look at the U.S. supply-demand balance sheet here, our ethanol use probably a little higher than what the USDA is recognizing, along with China's potential for ethanol. Feed use continues to remain strong, along with China's feed use kind of picking up. Brazilian corn production is going to be down about 13 to 18% overall. Not a real bullish situation, but it indicates that if we were to have some weather problems here in the U.S. or somewhere in Asia next growing season, maybe this thing could be a little bit more exciting than what it is right now.
We're in the last month of the calendar year. Some producers will need to make some moves in the marketplace. What are your first expectations for them? Which items should they move out first?
Well, probably corn. Guys have fairly well sold up on beans. They'll probably be a tight holder of beans, so the obvious one is corn. There's a lot of corn. There's a lot of corn piles. We have a lot of marketing to do on corn. We're looking at the seasonal up and through here until about December 15th through the 20th. We feel we have between now and then to sort of get caught up to where you want to be on your cash grain sales. The old adage of the Bears, they get Thanksgiving, so Bulls should have Christmas. So we feel there's several events here to try to get us some up. Now, whether it's enough up to pay for storage or not, I guess we're going to find out here, Todd.
What do you see in the livestock side of the marketplace?
Just kind of mixed trade in through here. We saw the spread unwinding here. They were selling cattle, buying hogs on some spread activity. We're entering the time window in here where Christmas ham demand should start to pick up, and we're in a time window where overall optimism in the overall economy should help the livestock sector here as we move through the winter.
All right. Hey, thanks so much.
Very good.
That, of course, is Kurt Kimmel. He's with Bates Commodities from Normal, Illinois. In today's agricultural news, ag state lawmakers continue to voice strong concern, even worry, that the United States may pull out of the North American Free Trade Agreement. The latest Department of Agriculture export forecast shows the importance of Canada and Mexico as the U.S. second and third largest markets, respectively, and Secretary Sonny Perdue hails both and China for the third and fourth highest export totals ever this year and next. It's more reason that Midwest lawmakers like Missouri U.S. Senator Claire McCaskill are worried by continued lack of progress in NAFTA renegotiations and heightened threats by President Trump to abandon the deal. Secretary Wilbur Ross, on the other hand, has downplayed threats by Mexico to walk away from the NAFTA talks. McCaskill disagrees with President Trump that the best way to extract concessions from Mexico and Canada is to drive them to the edge of the bargaining table.
I think it is throwing ag under the bus, frankly.
The American Farm Bureau Federation points out that U.S. farm exports to Canada and Mexico have quadrupled in value since NAFTA took effect in the early 90s. AF, BF, and others argue the loss of NAFTA benefits would be devastating to U.S. producers already strapped by 4 years of depressed farm prices. Well, from NAFTA, let's move to the RFS. President Donald Trump and several cabinet members will meet with Senator Ted Cruz from Texas, a Republican, on Thursday, to discuss biofuels and vehicle fuel efficiency policies. This according to Politico. Cruz has held up the nomination of Bill Northey from Iowa to a top USDA post over the administration's support of the renewable fuel standard, which he says hurts the oil industry. EPA Administrator Scott Pruitt defended holding flat the minimum volume of biodiesel during a visit to Iowa last week. Pruitt said that the U.S. was importing billions of gallons of fuel from Argentina to meet its renewable fuel requirement. We shouldn't be importing biodiesel to meet an obligation that we set, Pruitt said. Capacity is different than production, but he added that conventional ethanol was doing very well, so he saw the potential to raise the cap in the future. And finally today, we'll come right back here to the state of Illinois. Brandt Industries announced Friday that it would take over a central Illinois manufacturing plant in McLean County. Agricultural equipment for U.S. corn and soybean markets will be produced at the plant, which will be Saskatchewan-based Brandt's first U.S. location. The company will receive, reportedly, $1.2 million in state tax credits. And that's a look at the day's agricultural news. Hey, have you signed up yet for this year's Illinois Farm Economics Summits? We're just a couple of weeks away now from that event, and this is your last week to get pre-registered for the program. The Ag Economist from right here in Mumford Hall and I will head out on the road starting on Monday, December the 18th. We'll be in DeKalb on that day at Veranda's Banquet Center. On Tuesday, we'll head to Peoria for the Paradise Hotel and Casino. Wednesday, we'll be at the Crown Plaza in Springfield. Thursday, we'll be at a brand new venue for us. We'll be in Carlisle, Illinois at Bratz Wildlife Lodge and Winery. That's Thursday, rather than in Mount Vernon. Again, we'll be in Carlisle for Southern Illinois on Thursday, the 21st day of the month. And on Friday, the 22nd, we'll be right here at the iHotel and Conference Center in Champaign. I'll be traveling all that week with Jonathan Kappas, Todd Hubbs, Scott Irwin, Dale Latz, Nick Polson, and of course, Gary Schnitke. If you'd like to get yourself registered, you can do that today on the Farm Doc Daily website. If you're register online, it's $65. If you call in, it's $70. And if you don't get registered this week, you can walk in, but that'll cost you $75. So get yourself registered today for the 2017 Illinois Farm Economic Summits. You can do that online at farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. You know, the Senate-passed tax bill that the House must now either accept or reconcile with its own would have a big impact on agriculture, yet few senators even mentioned ag in the day's long debate leading up to the early Saturday morning vote. Agriculture was largely ignored in the marathon debate on the GOP Senate tax bill that passed 51-49 with just one Republican defector, and all Democrats, even those from major farm states, opposed. Despite the importance of the rural farm vote and next year's elections, just a handful of lawmakers said anything about agriculture. Among them, Republicans John Thune of South Dakota, Missouri's Roy Blunt, and Senate Ag Chair Pat Roberts of Kansas, who listed the bill's ag tax breaks.
5-year property depreciation and permitting full expensing of plant and equipment purchases. The bill would greatly improve the ability of the agriculture community to use the cash method of accounting, which provides flexibility in managing cash flow.
Also included, new tax rates for small, so-called pass-through businesses, which includes most farms.
Now, this is a very important issue, Mr. President, for the agriculture community. The majority of farms and ranchers are set up as pass-throughs, and most of the income earned by farmers flow through these structures.
The bill also includes a doubling to $22 million per couple, $11 million per individual, of the estate tax exclusion. Democrats complained repeatedly the estate tax break favors the rich. Here's Missouri's Claire McCaskill.
I don't know that we have any farms in Missouri worth more than $11 million. Maybe a handful.
Yeah.
But, you know, they've got stepped up basis,
right,
which is obviously the most important thing to farmers, is that their families don't have to pay the taxes on the gains.
McCaskill and other red state Democrats argued for days the GOP bill is a giveaway to the rich and corporations. Republicans insist the middle class and small businesses will proportionally receive huge tax cuts that would boost spending and jobs, including in agriculture. Of course, you're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media for this Monday afternoon. Amy Sage is now here. She's from the Andersons from right here in Champaign County. Hey, good afternoon to you, Amy. Thanks for being with us.
Good afternoon, Todd. My pleasure.
Well, let's talk about the cash grain situation and futures both. Let's start with Chicago and the bean market. What happened there today, in your opinion?
You know, I really can't explain the sell-off there anything more than probably a little bit of selling pressure. Obviously, we're trading South American weather today and had a nice little bounce early in the session and still closed positively, but just off the highs. So I think that that's probably a little bit of selling.
Yeah, so selling pressure. But did you get many phone calls from producers wanting to market soybeans?
A little bit. You know, it's not like we were setting any records from bean purchases here today, but we did have some people rewarding the market a little bit, particularly probably getting some cash flow needs taken care of around year end, and with a 10-cent bounce here earlier in the session, that was as good of a time as any to get some of that stuff balanced out.
Do you see more strength in the bean market?
You know, I guess I can't say that I don't. As long as we keep trading this weather market, La Nina odds continue to increase there in Argentina, and funds have a little bit of room to grow here with their long being pretty modest at this point in time. So we could see some more swing in beans. But as we know, if that forecast shifts or if something changes, then that can be lost just as quickly as it's gained. But I definitely don't think that the back and forth and the volatility here and the upside potential is gone at this point.
Are farmers sold ahead on most of their soybeans? I'm meaning in comparison to previous years, I was thinking that all last winter they were told, go ahead and market this year's crop.
Yes, and I agree with that. There definitely was a lot more forward selling in beans, you know, with $10 opportunities for soybeans and lack of opportunities to sell corn. We did see much more activity. On the flip side, we did have, several people anyways in a majority of our area had more beans to sell than what they originally anticipated or what you're going to feel comfortable forward selling going into the crop year. So there still is some overrun to get cleaned up, and of course those who will hang on to a little bit through the winter months as well.
How's demand and basis for corn?
We actually saw a little bit of basis improvement as we rolled our bid to the March here. We're now 19 under the March, which is about a 3-cent improvement from where we were compared to the Dece. You know, we haven't seen a lot of farmers selling in corn, and the board definitely isn't doing any work to entice the farmer to let any of that go. So we have seen some continued strength there, really, since we got to the tail end of harvest. That's gradually improved over the course of the last month here.
Any reason to think that there'll be much movement in the corn market over the next month?
No. That's the short answer to that.
Well, good enough. What are your bids for the day?
You bet. 334 going home tonight, cash corn, 365 across the scale for next fall. We're at 968 for cash soybeans, 981 across the scale for fall, 412 for wheat, and new crop July is at 446.
Simple as always, best, Amy. Hey, thanks so much.
Thank you, Todd. Have a good one.
Amy Sage is with the Andersons. Let's now turn our attention to the agricultural weather forecast. Mark Russo is here. He's with Risk Pulse out of Chicago. Hey, Mark, thanks for being with us. It looks to me like in the next 6 hours, things are going to change here in our part of the world.
Yeah, Todd, from a forecast standpoint here across Illinois, certainly winter is on its way finally after this very mild temperatures, which are going to continue here today, but the cold front and associated cooler temperatures will work its way in here tonight and tomorrow. The more significant cold is coming in over the upcoming weekend and on into next week, where we do see this pattern change across North America, more troughing in the western U.S., troughing in the eastern U.S., more ridging in the western U.S., and that's going to help usher in those Arctic air masses here and actually sending temperatures down to colder than normal levels for the middle part of December. But even with that, we're not seeing much in the way of any real significant precipitation or any kind of big snowstorms here in Illinois or the nation's midsection. A little bit of snow in the air, but it still is a drier pattern. Actually, that drier pattern extends further west all the way through the plains.
And then turn your attention to Argentina. This is where the market was moved today. La Nina is still the player. What do we know about recent weather there and expectations for the next week or so?
Yeah, well, in Argentina, they did have an opportunity for rainfall in recent days, and the western part of their belt in Cordoba, Santiago del Estero, La Pampa, saw some relief. Some of the dryness in the eastern areas, though, was not able to be made up. So kind of a variable situation, but there was some minor relief, especially in the west. But looking out ahead for the next couple of weeks, it's a drier than normal pattern, and we see limited rain opportunities across Argentina. And along with that will be warmer than normal temperatures. In fact, by the end of this week, temperatures are forecast to be in the low to mid-90s Fahrenheit and actually stay that way through all of next week. So a period of warmer than normal temperatures combined with the below normal precip totals will allow the dryness to begin expanding again across Argentina.
Does that expand far enough north that it gets into Paraná or Paraguay, I'm sorry, or any of the Brazilian states on the southern edge of their bean growing areas?
Very fringe areas, Todd. I guess the far southern acreage in Paraguay and then into Rio Grande do Sul in southern Brazil, and for that matter, Santa Catarina. Those are areas that look to be a bit more involved with the dryness here coming up. But those areas actually have seen significant rainfall here in recent weeks. So if they are dry for the next 2 weeks, it's not of any immediate concern, but that would quickly, you know, accelerate to a higher concern by the end of this month.
And finally, what does the primary growing region of Brazil, Mato Grosso, look like?
It's looking really good here at this time. Lately, rainfall has been near to above normal across Mato Grosso, even extending down into Mato Grosso do Sul, Goiás. That's the northern corn and soybean belt, and that acreage will continue to be on the active side and continuing the very favorable conditions across that region.
Mark Russo is with Risk Pulse, joins us here on the Closing Market Report for Monday afternoon from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.